this God-inspired message from Shofar Christian Church. We trust that you will enjoy today's message and that it will encourage you to grow deeper in your relationship with Christ our Savior.
Hallelujah. Are we all awake tonight? That is amazing. Because it sucks to preach to a bunch of sleeping people. And let me just start, for interest's sake, if you have not read it in the Bible as of yet, Paul was preaching very long throughout the night, and someone fell asleep while he was preaching, and it was kind of like an upper room type of vibe, and he fell out of the window while sleeping, and he died. Right? You know the story? But if you know, we will take heart and have courage, because you know what happened? After he finished his sermon, he went and prayed for him, and he rose up from the dead. But I'm sure he never slept in the service again. So unless you want to be resurrected from the dead tonight, you better stay awake. Amen? Hallelujah. Awesome stuff. As all this, especially students coming back, it's great to see some new life. And I'm sure that you had an amazing holiday. Did you? Yes. Go to the beach, travel a bit. Who went to France? Wow, amazing. Did you have some nice croissants? Nice. Great, it's amazing. Don't ever speak to me again, okay? Just kidding. It's great that we get some time off to rest, especially students. You probably had like 2 months. Enjoy it while it lasts, because it doesn't. But it's great that we get time to get away, to have a breather, to spend some time with family, perhaps, loved ones, some buddies, some mates, some Bruce, and to just have fun, right? And but I hope above all of those things that we manage to spend some time with our Lord, our Father, and that we manage to rest. You see, because I don't know if you know, but resting is such an important way in which we can worship our God. Because God didn't recommend it or advise it. He commands us to rest. So my prayer is that 2016 will be a year where all of us get it right to really rest, to rest weekly. And I know we get busy. We all get it. All of us are busy. We are busy with important stuff, and it's really important, I'm sure, with most of us. And we are very important people, and I'm sure God would agree, because for us he's very important. But the most important person I know is God, and the most important work that someone does I know is God. And a couple of thousand years ago, he was busy with something quite important. He created everything. And he took a break from that before he carried on managing everything. So as how important you are, important work you have, I know that there's a blessing in us resting, because God wants us to continue and go from glory to glory and strength to strength. Amen? Hallelujah. So, and that is a little bit of an introduction of what I'm wanting to speak a bit about tonight, is a bit about rest. And how we are going to enter this year of 2016, and what it holds. And with new years comes new resolutions, right? Who does New Year's resolutions? 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of us. Why do only 4 of us do it? And now tonight, please forgive me, it's not to pick on any of you, but I'm sure that you perhaps are doing it because of what I am about to say. New Year's resolutions for most of us is irritating, right? For me at least, because either for ourselves or our mates, they say, listen, this new year I'm going to germ, I'm going to stop drinking wine, stop eating cake, only eat carrots, and I'm going to read my Bible every day. Every person I've met who had some really great resolutions come about this time of year around, January isn't even finished yet, it hasn't passed, they failed miserably, because they are trying to change who they are to become a better person, who they think they should be, who people will like or God would like more, for whatever motive. So in a sense, I know that for most of us, that's probably why we didn't go the route of New Year's resolutions, because for us, it's kind of lame, and it doesn't happen. Right? You agree? Only me? Amen. Awesome. Guys at the back. All right. But there's something in that which I believe is very, very important, which we cannot neglect, which we cannot find irritable or just skim on by like we do of most things on Facebook that irritate us. Is God is a God who is a lot of awesome stuff, but He's a God who guides us. See, if you don't know this yet, we are God's children. And I've never read in Scripture, and I know all of us collectively, we've been through the whole Bible a couple of times. Yes? Right? And I've never read in the Bible where God said, go figure it out. Right? Anyone has read that somewhere? Psalm 153, perhaps? Yes? God doesn't give us a command and say, but go figure out how to do it. He doesn't give us direction in which we should walk in. He said, okay, but go figure it out. It doesn't sort of kick us out of the house and then say, you need to go man up, bro. Go do what you need to do. No, God is a God who's good, who's loving, and loves to guide us. So with that, which I've found in my life, when New Year's comes, and especially new seasons come, God loves to give promises. He loves to give us something to hold on to, that as we will go through this year or walk towards something, we have sort of a personal vision, a personal word promise to hold on to work to. And I'm sure that, and I'm trusting that most of us have received something for this year coming in. Perhaps by showing who has received a word from God. See, that's looking better. So let's leave the word resolution. Let's speak about the promises of God. Let's speak about God wanting to guide us and to lead us so that when we enter into this year and the rest of our lives, we know what is on God's heart for us as His children. You see, because when God gives us those things, we know what to focus on, what to leave, what to pray into, what to get excited about. Why? Because that is where our Father is leading us into. And I want to read us a portion of Scripture out of 2 Peter from verse 1, from chapter 1, from verse 5. And it speaks about fruitful growth in the faith. It reads, but also, for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. For he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness, and has forgotten that he was cleansed from his old sins. Therefore, brethren, that's all of us, be even more diligent to make your call and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never stumble. For so an entrance will be supplied to you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. So God's heart is for us to know where He's calling us towards, what our callings are, our elections are, so that we can never stumble. God's heart for us is to actually never really to fall over something flat on our faces, because if we know our callings and elections, such a man will never stumble. You see, if you sort of have an idea of where you want to go, but it can be north, east, south, and west, right? Which is all the directions, by the way. You will change direction a lot, ask a lot of stupid advice, and ask just a lot of input in terms of where you need to go, and you'll waste a lot of time in getting where you need to be going. Right? Do you agree? The Bible is full of examples as such. I think the most one which most of us would know is an entire nation, a nation of Israel. Right, when God delivered them out of Egypt, He gave them a promise, a calling towards where? The promised land. How long did it take them to go there? 40 years. How long do you think the walk is to the promised land? 2 weeks. Let's, for argument's sake, say they take a couple of breaths and breaks, 2 weeks. Journey that was meant to be 2 weeks took them 40 years. Why? Various reasons. Right, but mostly they did not focus on God, did not focus on the place where he was calling them towards. There's a lot of stuff, but it's mostly they were focusing on their own desires and their stuff that they wanted. And he distracted them on God's call for their lives as a nation, and none of those people that were delivered out of Egypt saw the promised land. Did you know that? Not a single one of them. So God is a God who loves to guide us and to lead us in accuracy and promptly. You see, sometimes due to perhaps hurt in church or different parents or different upbringings or stuff that happened to us that hurt us, we have formed this idea that for a large portion of our lives, it's okay to sort of not know what is going on. We have an idea slightly, maybe somehow, where God is calling us towards, but that has been going on for the last 3 years. But you know what? I will just take this year, go through my wilderness season, and just trust God to show you, you know what? God is a God who wants to us to be sure of where he's calling us towards and equip us and to know to where that is, so that we will never stumble, so that we will be effective as his children. Let me just say this as well. You know what? God, primarily, he doesn't need us to do anything for him. Do we know that? What can we do to add to God? Nothing. What can we do to God that he would love us more? Nothing. You see, whether we, in our lifetime, will choose to follow him or not, that does not change the love even that he has for us. So God never actually requires us to do stuff for him for us to earn love. But God does give us responsibilities and callings over our lives. Why? Not so that we can earn his love, but that in doing so, we actually walk closer and closer towards God in intimacy, in relationship, in knowing him. And God is doing a lot of things, and I'm going to love to speak about this tonight, as he sets us up and guides us as he's leading us towards that which he is calling us into, because we are not supposed to reach our calling when we are 93 years old. Jesus walked in his calling. Paul walked in his calling. The disciples walked in their calling. Jesus said, come, follow me, and they immediately started following him. So there's a desire from God that we should each know in this year, and more importantly, for the rest of our lives, that which God is calling us into. Not so that we can know it, but that we can walk in it. Not in 40 years' time, but perhaps in 2 weeks' time. Perhaps from tonight. So if you are sitting in this place and perhaps no one has ever prayed, prophesied, or spoken to you, or God has, you had that God moment where God said, you are my son and this is what where I'm calling you towards. This is what I want you to do. If you've never had that moment, I'm very, very excited with you, because tonight is the night where God wants to speak to you. Tonight is the night where God wants you to, when you walk out of the door, to walk into 2016 and know the things that God wants to accomplish in and through you. God is not calling us to figure stuff out. He has given us everything. And his heart's desire is for us to simply partake in it with him. You know what? God has already, he's already done 2016. He's been through it. God has seen the end of the world. You know that? He knows exactly what's going to happen. Nothing will ever shock or surprise God. He's outside of time. He looks at everything just as like entire existence of earth is like this. Perhaps smaller because the entire universe is in his hand, so it's very small. So God sort of knows what's going to happen this year, and he's calling us to partake in the things which he has already done. So that gives us a security, right? It gives a foundation for us to hold on to, because we don't sort of need to beg and drag God into the things which we are going to do, because he knows what he wants to fulfill through us. So God is calling us this evening for us to know our callings. What is God calling you to do in this year and your life? God is not calling you to walk blindly and trying to figure it out. but He wants to speak and speak clearly. And I'm sure for most of us He has. Perhaps we've turned from it, or we couldn't understand it, or it was too big or too massive. Let me tell you what, if God speaks and it freaks you out, that's great, because it means it probably was God. He thinks way bigger than we can ever do. His understanding, His love, His character, if you want to call it that, it is too big for us to ever fathom and understand. We try to understand God's love, but let me tell you something, you will never be able to understand it. It's too big. And He gives us glimpses of it. And God speaks peace by peace. What is it that God is calling us to do in this year and for our lives? I want us to take sort of, us guys, we love boxes, so let's put this calling election, boom, box, put it over here. Let's pause it over there for a moment. Everyone understand? Guys, you shop? Ladies, you understand? Box over here? Good, yes? Are we awake? Hallelujah. Resting. You know what, when God starts to work in our lives and when we really stand in His presence, it's as Adin shared while we were worshiping God. When we look into the eyes of God, we can never ever be the same again. Because our sinfulness is exposed to His holiness. So there's a change happening. It's like light and darkness. The darkness flees. So there's stuff happening when we are exposed to who Jesus is. And that is what church is all about. God is wanting to use us, use situations like tonight, for His light to penetrate our lives. So we will become more like Him. Amen? I want to share a short story. I was a couple of years ago, I can't remember how long exactly, we were ministering at a church a little bit bigger than this one in the Congo. And the Congo is just about in the middle of Africa. I think it is, I don't know, whatever. And we were ministering, and just all of a sudden, God started doing a lot of stuff in the church, and things really got messy, let me tell you that. So there were people shouting, there were people crying, there were people dancing, and all of a sudden there was an entire group of witch doctors entering the church, doing a lot of wara-wara stuff to block what we are doing, and obviously it just fails miserably. So there's a lot of chaos in the house of God, and I remember in that moment, with a lot of demonic manifestations, a lot of people crying, a lot of people doing very interesting things. And at that stage, I didn't really understand everything so well. So I was properly freaked out. So I remember there was a stage in front of us. So I remember stepping back, and I just meant to sit there because I just stopped what I was busy doing because no one was listening anyway. And I just sat back and I said, Lord, how can you allow this to happen in your house? You know what? Teachers love to smack me on the hand like this, but they had a stick or ruler. I trust it never happened with any of you. And so I sort of had that moment with God where He just disciplined me and said, listen, this is my church. This is what I want my church meetings to look like. This is me encountering my children. You see, a lot of crazy stuff was happening. It went on and on and on. But you know what? Through the deliverance and the healing and the salvations, it was a manifestation of God's kingdom coming to earth. So there was a clash, and there was not really a contention, just as long as people wanted to put up with contending with God. But then a peace eventually came. And then God just spoke to me so clearly about His church. You know what, all of us sitting here, God drew us to be here tonight, even though a mate might have dragged you by the ear, that's great. But God has laid it on His heart to do that. God is drawing us closer to Him, and He's always the one drawing us. But even as much as God is wanting to do stuff in our lives tonight, which He is, tonight is primarily not about us. Tonight is about us being equipped to drag every single person outside there who doesn't know God to be in you with us. That's what the church is about. Church is not to grow intellectually. Church is there to be the light, to be the salt, to reach the lost. So I want to bring us a bit of perspective tonight that God is going to do amazing work in your life tonight, I promise you. And in His calling and in His putting His hand on you and raising you up into that which He's calling you towards, it's that calling, it's not even for you. For the kingdom of heaven. For the purposes of God. So I'm just sharing this for a bit of expectation management. To follow Christ is costly. Right? And I love to do a bit of expectation management because Jesus did too. And you know what? Right in the beginning, He did the same. He said, what does it cost you to follow Me? Your life. Those who lose their lives for My name's sake will find it. So God is calling every single one of us tonight to lay down all of our lives in order for us to gain Christ. So that we can be Jesus in this world. Are we reflecting Jesus when we still sin? No. Are we reflecting Jesus when we still have disobedience in our lives? Sadly not. So God is calling us and putting us in situations so that we can be the church, be the salt, be the light. Because He has made every way, He has paid every price needed to be paid in order for us to simply walk in it. But we are struggling to do it because we love our lives, and our dreams and our desires. But as we grow closer to God, our dreams and our desires become His. And even though we have a calling election, God is such a good Father that He loves to give us even the desires of our hearts. You know what one of my desires is, and I know one day I will, is I'm going to drive a very nice Mercedes. Is that unbiblical? No, it's not. Why? I'm God's son. He loves to give me the desires of my heart. But God knows everything, there's a right time for everything, and there's a right place for my heart to be at to receive stuff. And perhaps I first need to see how heavy my foot is before He will give me one. But this is to share that this, in this worldly sense, there's nothing wrong with having good stuff. God loves to give us awesome stuff and lack of cell phones and all that stuff. But it should never be in the way of us moving closer to God. Otherwise, we start to idolize it. So tonight, firstly, God is wanting to come speak to us about our calling. But He's wanting tonight to come and give us rest. And I want to share us another portion of Scripture. It's the first four verses before the couple we read earlier. And it's from 2 Peter 1 from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As His divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of Him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Rather than God wanting us to do stuff for Him, He's calling us to partake with Him. And what that verse says is He's given us every single tool needed to do that. But let's be honest for a moment. Let's think back over 2015, over 2014. Let's perhaps think back 10 years, however long you've been ministering, you've been serving, and it's great and awesome, and I know our reward is eternal, and we'll be with God, and we have received a lot of stuff out of it, but I see a church that is fatigued. I see a church who has become a bit weary in the things which we do for our Lord. Is it really a joy for us to serve in the house of our God? Does it not feel like a burden or a job for us to do the things which God has laid before us? You see, somewhere from God's calling and that first moment of us engaging with Him to where we might be tonight, the things we do has all become like jobs. A Christian job instead of the Christian faith. You see, what has happened between that first moment, that place, between where we are now, where we are a little bit heartful of things we need to do and things of the church. And it's great stuff we do, but in those things, we are not really experiencing a lot of rest and a lot of joy. You see, the Word of God says that Jesus' yoke is easy and His burden is light. So we aren't supposed to be weary, burdened, heavy laden. That's all on the cross. It's all been paid for. Let me tell you a short story. And my wife knows about it, so I can share it. And it's nothing to do with you. It's fine. And when I was in primary school, I went on my first date. And this, yes, she was a year younger than me. You see, so the age thing was right. Just kidding, you can marry whatever age. It's fine. And don't take offense. And we went, I was head over heels over this girl. Brown hair, big brown eyes, like very pretty, laka laka. And we went to the movies that night. And it's okay, we had a chaperone, her granddaddy. And I remember, and I believe it was cool back then. If you don't agree, don't say anything. I wore light blue jeans and a light blue jean jacket, right? So it was all matchy, everything was suave, it was cool. So her granddad came to pick me up at my house, and then he took us to the movies. We went to see George of the Jungle with Brendan Fraser. Who remembers that movie? Really stupid movie, right? And and we sat in that theater, and I would imagine, yes, it felt like forever, forever, forever. And I remember most of the movie being gone, about 20 minutes left. I had this big bowl of popcorn on my lap, and everything was going lucky, but I didn't watch the movie at all. The only focus I had was I was so in love with this girl. This was my first, like, experience of love, you know? It was burning in my soul. It was butterflies. It was crazy. It was messy. When we think of it, it would just be snot and trana. It was just be, it's love, right? That's real love, people. And I want to sing Love Boat, but I won't. So we were sitting in the movies, and the only thing I could focus on was wanting to hold her hand. So we were sitting on those big movie seats, and I was sitting like this, obviously, because her hand was there. So I was just, there was just a 10-centimeter gap between my hand and hers, but it was like eternity to bridge that gap, to just lavish my hand over hers. So eventually, I took courage. I stood firm, and I grabbed her hand. But in the process of me leaping, I took a leap of faith. I really did, because as I leaped to grab her hand, just popcorn went flying all over the place. But I did not leave her hand. So I was squeezing the life out of her hand, but there was popcorn in the hair, in my shoes, everywhere on the floor. But for the rest of the 20 minutes, I was in heaven because I was holding her hand. And it was just, it was crazy. I was like, Lord, I can die right now because I'm a man. I've managed this task, this calling, whatever stuff you think back then. And that was it. I was a man. I touched the hand, love of my life. Life is fulfilled. And I went to go watch a movie again later the week, because I didn't see it at all. And movies were cheap. It was like R3 back then. And R1 on Saturdays. So movies was cheap. And the reason why I'm sharing my love encounter with all of you is, you see, for all of us, and sadly for many of us, we have had that love encounter with Jesus. We speak and say, you know what? Back then when I gave my life to Jesus, that in love stage, I was so brave, I could do anything. You know what? In that moment with me holding, the name was Almery, with me holding Almery's hand, I could conquer the world. Because that in loveness, that was enough. That love was enough. And I remember thinking back when I was 15 years old, when I really had my first encounter with Jesus, I was so in love with him. And you might judge me now, but don't. We lived walking distance from within our school, and I remember that first week after meeting Jesus, I skipped all the way to school like this, there and back. Even though the day would suck, I would just skip to school and back everywhere I went. Why? Because I was in love with my God. with the encounter I had with Him. You know what? I would do absolutely anything and everything that He would have asked me to because of the love I had for Him. You know what? What happened since then? Life happened. We need to grow up. We need to mature in our faith. We need to do all of these things, but all of these things we do draw us away from being in love with our Father. Is that okay? See, there's a lot of teachings going around, especially on marriages, that say, you know what, eventually you move away from being in love with your goal, and then it becomes love. Then it's a real thing. Now you need to work at it. Marriage is a lot of work, definitely. I've had about 10 months of practice now. And in those 10 months, it is work. Why? Because I've got issues, man. That's why it's work. But you know what? The stuff I need to do now in my marriage, if I have to think back in meeting Melody, being in that place of in loveness when I first laid my eyes on her blue eyes, I was like, I'll do anything for this woman. But we hear that we need to get over and grow up out of being in love, and you need to be busy with real love. You know what? That is why marriage feels like a job for most of the world. Because we have stopped being in love with our spouses. Is that God's will? I believe definitely not. You see, the difference between marriage being a job, if you need to go buy flowers or do this or do something romantic, you would just do it because you know the other person would sort of smile and it would be a good week. But in that in love stage, you would just do absolutely everything. You would buy chocolates, flowers, good wine. You would drive to whatever Pitsonder Water lookout point to go look at the stars. Why? Because you're just in love with this girl, so it doesn't really make sense. Who cares about how much it costs? But eventually, we care about how much it costs. Eventually, we get really busy to stop being in love and just have love and just have marriage. It sucks when you do that. And guys, not being married, you really need to listen now. And someone tells you, get over being in love and get to know if you love her. That is from the pit of hell, let me tell you that. Because you see, that is why we struggle in following Jesus. That is why serving Him and following Him becomes like a job. It's why we stop smiling. Because we stop being in love with our Father. First couple of weeks we met Melody. She, out of her family, I'm speaking about my life a lot. Because it's got power, right? That's what testimony is. She comes out of a family, they go to bed at 8 p.m. It's crazy, I know. But they're really awesome. And when we met in the first week, she went to bed every night at 2 a.m., right? Very early. She went to bed very early. And it broke her. It broke me as well because we all work. We're busy, all of these things. But it wasn't a schlep for us at all to just do what was necessary for us to get to know one another where we had the time to do it. But somewhere it comes like, listen, let's just do a bit of cost management, time management, romantic management. Let me just see how much I'm going to give you about this and this and effort. Because we move away from being in love. Let me tell you what, the thing that God is speaking to me most when I pray for her is like, Christy, you need to fall in love with your wife. You need to get over yourself. Get over what you think you are busy with. Because the measure in which you love her is what the world sees in how much I love my church. It's crazy. I'm failing God. I'm not crying. I'm failing my wife when I do that. You know what? When we walk around being really sad and burdened and heavy laden and all the stuff we need to do for the church, you know what? We are failing God. Because we are not representing Him well. Tonight, what God is wanting to do is He wants to give us rest. He wants to come give us peace. He wants us to run and not grow weary. We're going to read together in Matthew 10, I think, 11 verse 29. It says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. I'm gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls? What is our focus as we enter into this year? Is it all the stuff we need to do? Business growth, family growth, perhaps to find a wife? We tend to focus on those things a lot more than we focus on God. What is our focus? Because our focus are all the things that we already have written down and diarized, and we just like, oh yes, the calendar is already full. You're going to have a suck year, let me tell you that. Because you're already tired and not ready for this year. What is our focus? Our focus should be God. Our focus should be being in love with our Father. You see, because when, and this is difficult for us guys to understand, but God is faithful and His grace is enough for us to do this. God is the lover of our souls. And we need to start comprehending this for us to be in love with Him. Because that means that everything we have diarized for this year already, it will all be out of that place of being a privilege to serve Him, a privilege to love Him, and not a job. The privilege to serve my wife because she's a princess and a daughter of God. Not a job. It's a privilege to serve in the house of the Lord because we are in love with the one in whom we are serving. God is wanting us to change our focus tonight in order for Him to give us rest. Just as we cannot stop sinning when we focus on trying to stop that sin the whole time. It will never work. But focus on God. That is what repentance is. Change your mind onto Him. And the fruit of it will be holiness. As we focus on God, everything we'll do will be out of a place of rest, out of a place of peace. So what God is wanting to do, that every single one of you being fatigued and being not so excited about the things you need to do in church, you need to do at your workplace, you need to do for God, God is wanting to come and restore to you the joy of His salvation. And the joy of having a privilege to serve the one in whom you love. Because we were all there once, I believe. But life happened. Life taught us to grow up. God says, don't ever grow up. Be like children. Mature in the faith, yes. Don't ever stop being like children. God is wanting us to have that peace and that joy again in serving Him and following Him. Because when we know what our callings are, and for those who don't know yet, you are going to know soon, God is wanting you to pursue that, never ever growing weary, never ever feeling it as a job, because it is a privilege to follow our God. Amen? God is wanting to restore to us that butterflies of being close to Him. That's supposed to grow and not to wane away. As we move towards love. Love and in love is it's integral to be together, to be a part of one another. And I'm hoping that especially married people sitting here, that you would agree with me tonight. God is wanting us to smile again in serving Him. Amen. Let's ask the band to just come to the front, please. You see, we sort of have this thing, and it's not our fault, it's the world around us. We are bombarded with images and a lot of stuff we hear, the radio, the TV, and then we form our theologies and doctrines and we form our God according to the things we see out there, except of just really being grounded in the Word of God. So when we are a fast food generation, we will drive from here quickly, go to McD's, 2.5 minutes, you better have my burger ready. I actually wanted it yesterday. Then you eat it very quickly. If you're bloated, you'll regret it, but you know what? You'll go back tomorrow again. Because we just love things fast. It needs to happen, has happened, need to have happened already. That's our lifestyle, that's our generation. But God doesn't work that way. We are like, God, when you say where you need me to go, tell me A to Z now. I want to see the full map, see the full plan. But God doesn't do that. And I don't believe God will ever do that. You see, because God is wanting to, as He calls us to that place of us walking fully in our calling, God is equipping us as we get there. He's raising us up. He's teaching us things we need to be taught. And more than that, And this might be new to some of you. God is wanting to know if He can trust us. It's just as parents, if you have 10 kids, you don't trust all your kids the same. God doesn't trust us the same. You can look at Scripture. Abraham had to be able to offer Isaac in order for God to trust him to give him his inheritance, right? God is hoarding things perhaps before us, and at a stage it was too much for us to follow through, to be obedient in that. And we are so condemned and guilty about that. But tonight God wants us to move. He wants to take us back to that moment, give us courage to go through it. And let's look at our Lord. Let's look at Jesus, who was perfect in every way. Did He want to die on the cross for us? No. He knew He had to. Let me take you to the Garden of Gethsemane. What was happening there? He was begging God to let this cup pass from Him. But we are wanting things to be easy. We are wanting things step by step. But God doesn't work that way. Because He's wanting to see if He can trust us. God will never tempt us. Only the devil does that. But God is wanting to see if He can trust us. And that is why in calling, there's certain sideways and pit stops where we might be right now on the way we are going. And you know what? However long you're going to spend in that time, that's completely up to you. Ask the Israelites. Completely up to us and our obedience as to how quickly we will walk into that which God has laid before us. Because God has His hand on every single one of you, saying, "You are my beloved daughter. This is what I have for you." Every single one of us. So tonight, I want to ask you to please stand with me. And I want us to spend some time in prayer, because you see, practically, as we get to know God's desires for our lives, a simple question might be, what is that you would want to do in this life without ever receiving a cent for it and ever receiving a thank you? What is that you would do? For me, let me be personal again. God's calling my life is to go to the ends of the earth and plant churches. Am I doing that currently? No. But I'm a step closer now than what I was 2 years ago. God's call for my life is not to be a pastor. But what I'm doing now, God is teaching me how to be pastoral in my calling to be an apostle. So wherever you might be, do not get frustrated or irritable. Just say, "God, what is it you want to teach me?" Learn it, then move on to where God is guiding you. What are those things that you would want to do if no one ever thanked you for it or gave you a cent for it? As we get to impart, as God imparts His desires to us, that is very close to what it is that God is calling you towards. Do that. Why do you want to do anything else? Life is too short. Everything is temporal that we see here right now. Everything. Everything we look at, you're looking at me, I'm temporal. Everything you see. So what is our focus? God is wanting to come and speak to us and continue what He's already doing in our hearts.
You move mountains when you speak. You give power to the weak. You raise dead men to their feet. You are strong, Lord.
Thank you for listening to this message from Shofar Christian Church. We believe that it was time well spent establishing God's kingdom and proclaiming His glory in your life. For more information, call us on 012-362-1363 or email us at pretoria@shofaronline.org. You may also wish to browse our website at www.shofaronline.org or find us on facebook.com/shofarpretoria.